This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:35. Two miners were killed Monday night at a mine in Boone County. The incident happened at an operation where the Mine Safety and Health Administration promised to step up enforcement because the mine was cited for several serious violations. Jessica Lilly reports.
Federal authorities say the miners were trapped and killed after a ground failure, while state officials say it happened after rocks and coal ejected from inside the mine. 48-year-old Eric D. Legg of Twilight and 46-year-old Gary P. Hensley of Chapmanville were found dead during rescue efforts at Patriot's Brody Mine, number one in Wharton. The miners' bodies have been recovered. Patriot Coal has owned the mine since December 2012. The mine was put on a pattern of violation status in October 2013 after receiving 253 serious violations during the review period. An MSHA audit of Brody's mining records found injuries of miners that the operator failed to report to the federal agency. At that time, Patriot blamed the previous owner for the poor safety reputation. MSHA revised the POV rule after the Upper Big Branch disaster killed 29 men at a mine in 2010 that was cited repeatedly for serious violations. These revisions improved MSHA's ability to act when it finds a pattern of violations. In an email, Patriot Coal said the miners were fatally injured while the mine was conducting retreat mining operations. This type of mining is considered one of the most dangerous. It's a method of leaving pillars to support the roof. But since there's profitable coal left in those pillars, the operator pulls them, causing an intentional collapse. Last year, the mine produced nearly 1 million tons of coal. Patriot also confirms that employees at this mine were given a 60-day notice of potential layoffs late last month. Brody averages about 275 employees so far this year, slightly down from an average of 315 last year. Federal and state officials are investigating. A family liaison was also sent to the mine to assist the families during the recovery. No additional injuries have been reported, and no miners are reported trapped. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jessica Lilly in Athens.
Primary election highlights coming up on this West Virginia Morning at 7:37. Partly sunny skies today, but with a chance of rain and thunderstorms that could produce heavy rain, hail, and gusty winds. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s today. A chance of rain and thunderstorms continues overnight with lows in the 50s and 60s. Rain likely tomorrow with a chance of thunderstorms. Highs Thursday in the 60s and 70s. That chance of rain continues into Friday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by National Travel, representing Royal Viking River Cruises, European cruises on historic rivers, offices in West Virginia, or online at nationaltravel.com.
Many of the major federal races were called just a few hours after polls closed last night, including one to fill retiring Senator Jay Rockefeller's seat. Ashton Mara has the highlights of some of the most high-profile races in the state.
Primaries for the 1st Congressional District were called immediately upon the polls closing because, well, the candidates ran unopposed. Republican incumbent David McKinley will face Democratic challenger and current state auditor Glenn Gaynor in the fall. Up next, the call in the race for the 3rd Congressional District came just before 9 o'clock. GOP newcomer Evan Jenkins ran uncontested in his primary, while current Congressman Nick Rahal won by 2/3 of the vote ahead of Richard Ojeda. The 2nd Congressional District, however, one that runs from the eastern panhandle across the central portion of the state, picking up the capital city of Charleston, took a little longer to call. Former Democratic Party Chairman Nick Casey edged out Charleston delegate Misha Poore, while former Maryland State Senator Alex Mooney took the GOP nod, beating out six other challengers in that race. Over in the U.S. Senate, West Virginia's primary winners came as no surprise. Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito's win was called within an hour of the polls closing. Later in the evening, she said she would focus on creating jobs and continuing to battle for coal in Washington. She also hoped for a clean campaign through November.
You know, I think what people want in an election is discussion on the issues. I'm not going to engage in personal negative attacks. She's been doing that from the very beginning. beginning, and I think people are tired of that kind of campaigning. They want to hear fact-based, mature debate about where we want to take West Virginia.
Debate is exactly what Secretary of State Natalie Tennant called for after winning the Democratic nomination for the seat. Tennant challenged the Congresswoman to 5 televised debates over the next 6 months, but the Secretary didn't wait to start her general election campaign. Tennant started the push during her acceptance speech in Charleston.
This race is a clear choice between Washington politics and Wall Street dollars that Congresswoman Capito represents and the West Virginia values and families that I represent.
No matter who wins the seat come November, either Capito or Tennant will become the first ever female senator in West Virginia's history. On the local level, a set of races in Mingo County were seen as some of the most important in the state after several office holders were removed because of federal charges. In recent months, the county has lost their circuit judge, a commissioner, chief magistrate, and prosecutor to corruption charges stemming from a federal investigation. Mickey Thompson was elected by the county to take former Judge Michael Thornsbury's seat. Jim Hatfield will take the place of former Commissioner David Basden. Jim Harvey wins the office of magistrate and Teresa Maynard, county prosecutor. All of the winners in the primaries will go on a post in the fall. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
All 100 House of Delegates seats were up in yesterday's primary, as were 17 of the 34 in the state Senate. 4 incumbent state House Democrats and 1 Republican delegate fell to challengers from their own parties. The primary cements November matchups in which the Republicans will try to overtake the House of Delegates. Democrats have maintained power in the lower chamber for 85 years. Democrats Mark Hunt of Kanawha County, Tim Kinsey of Wayne, and Ron Figale of Harrison lost House seats. Rupert Phillips or Ted Tomlin will lose a seat in Logan County. Their race was tied, with all precincts reporting early this morning. Republican delegate Larry Kump also lost an Eastern Panhandle primary to 17-year-old Sarah Blair. The entire 100-member State House of Delegates is up, with a 6-seat Democratic majority on the line. Democratic Senator Sam Cann has lost his seat in West Virginia's priciest State House primary race. Harrison County Commissioner Mike Romano shelled out $137,000 in his quest to defeat Cann. Cann spent $73,800 defending his seat. Romano will face Republican Mike Queen in the 12th district race. Queen has raised about $14,400 and spent $8,000 so far. Half of the Senate's 34 seats are on the ballot this election cycle. Only 4 Senate seats on the ballot included primary contests, 2 Democratic and 2 Republican. Republicans Robert Carnes and Tom Tabucco and Democrat Mike Wolfel advanced out of the other 3 Senate primaries. All 3 face general election tests. Democrats maintain a 24-10 majority in the state Senate. With us this morning to discuss yesterday's primary election results and to look ahead to the November general election is Dr. Robert Rupp, a professor of history and political science at West Virginia Wesleyan College. Rob, good morning, and hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning.
All right, so generally your thoughts on the federal level. Let's focus in first on this second congressional district race. This is the seat that's being vacated by Shelley Moore Capito. Your thoughts, Nick Casey, Alex Mooney, the winners here.
Well, I think what's interesting here is there are a number of ways we can examine it. But when we have the interesting situation, Beth, of a former Maryland state GOP chair is facing off with a former West Virginia state Democratic chair, the idea of novices coming into West Virginia is not new. These are all two politically experienced people. Mm-hmm. And the other way to look at this is the regional difference. And when we look at the second district, we see a 300-mile string across the state. On one side, you're anchored by Charleston, and on the other side, you're anchored by the Eastern Panhandle. And what we're going to see in 6 months is a face-off, because Casey is from Kanawha County, and we have Alex Mooney from Jefferson County. So in a sense, this rampant regionalism mm-hmm. that has been part of West Virginia politics is going to be on full exhibit when we have Kanawha County against Jefferson County. Mm-hmm.
Alex Mooney, as you mentioned, is from Maryland. He's a former Maryland Republican Party chair and a former member of the Maryland State Senate. All right. Is this a trend? We're seeing also there's a Libertarian candidate who is now running against Natalie Tennant and Shelley Moore Capito for Rockefeller's seat. He is a former Virginia delegate. Is there a trend here? Are Republicans from other states looking at West Virginia and saying, hey, I can go there and I can easily win a seat?
Yeah, at a time when we're losing our kids and going across state lines to get jobs, we're finding that Republicans are coming into our state in order to run for office. We've seen that with Morrissey mm-hmm. and now with Mooney.
The Attorney General.
And as you said, in the Libertarian candidate from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And what that shows is, first of all, a recognition that this state is in a transition to being a Republican state. Mm-hmm. And it also shows the fact that the Republican Party within the state does not have enough experienced candidates. That they don't go out and recruit, but rather outside Republicans leave the Democratic state and go.
But the state here. Republican Party did actively recruit. Evan Jenkins, I think, is an example of that. For whatever reason, he was a Democrat in the state Senate. He decided to move to Republican, whether that was just an internal want to do or whether he was recruited. We know that the Republican Party worked hard to fill a lot of races on the state House level.
Well, and that's what's true is the state is trending that way, mm-hmm. but you need to have candidates. You need to have a strong bench. Now, how do you get the bench? One way is conversion, which we've seen with Evan Jenkins, and maybe other Democrats are ready to switch. Mm-hmm. The other one is recruiting on the local delegate races, which the state GOP has gone actively to do it. But now the third one, which is new to me, is suddenly outsiders are coming in here and running for key offices.
How are West Virginia voters going to go for this trend? Any thoughts about that? Well, West Virginians accept it. Simply accept it.
Yeah, there's a question here. When Morrissey first came in here, the argument was he was an exception for an outsider to come in and doing it. And now the fact that Mooney has won, you know, what they say is once is an aberration, twice is a pattern, and three times could be a trend, and we may see this trend. And part of that goes there. A lot of West Virginians that are saying the fact that someone is an outsider does not trump other values that I'm going to be using. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. this may not be that unusual as we see the state undergoing amazing but slow transition.
We opened our show with a soundbite from Shelley Moore Capito saying of her opponent, Natalie Tennant, that she wanted to focus on issues. She wanted to have a mature debate in this race. But isn't it out of her hands, given all the other parties that are going to come in and spend money in this race? Look ahead towards November. What are you seeing as we march towards general election day in November?
Our state of West Virginia is going to be in the center of national political attention. The Democrats think they can reclaim the second. The Republicans have targeted the third. We have an open Senate race. The House of Delegates is up. And what happens, Beth, is that you as the candidate do not have control over outside advertisers that come in and have 90% of their ads being totally negative. My greatest concern is that 6 months from now, there'll be so much money and so much negative advertising, many of it by outside sources, that the voters of West Virginia, instead of taking this chance to look at all these key elections, will stay home. I hope that will be disproved.
All right. Dr. Robert Rupp of West Virginia Wesleyan College, always good to talk to you, and thank you so much.
Take care.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ben Aduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.